There have been several studies of DOD's general officer requirements dating back to World War II, but Virginia Senator Jim Webb, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee's Subcommittee on Personnel, says this is the first time, at least recently, that Congress has held a hearing on the issue. His panel is working in part from a study just out from the Project on Government Oversight. The basic trend since World War II, according to POGO, is that the ratio of generals and admirals to the uniformed troops they command has been steadily growing. It hit an all-time high in 2010, when across the department there were 7 general and flag officers for every 10,000 uniformed personnel. That's 5 more senior officers per 10,000 troops than when World War II ended, and 1.5 more than when the Cold War ended. Since 9/11, the number of general and flag officers has gone from 871 to 964. That growth rate is much higher than in the rest of the uniformed ranks. POGO says that's counterintuitive, and it's the opposite of what's happened during other wars. Benjamin Freeman is a national security fellow at POGO. He testified before the Armed Services panel yesterday, saying there are reasons to be concerned about the issue of brass creep, especially when DOD is looking for savings wherever and whenever it can find them.
The cost of officers increases markedly with their rank, so taxpayers are overpaying whenever a general or flag officer is in a position that could be filled by a lower-ranking officer. Additionally, military personnel experts know that unnecessarily top-heavy organizations hinder military effectiveness and they slow decision cycles. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates said that in some cases, the gap between he and an action officer may be as high as 30 layers, and this results in a, quote, bureaucracy which has the fine motor skills of a dinosaur.
The study also found the most senior ranks, 3- and 4-star officers, have grown faster than any other group of DOD uniform personnel over the past decade, and there are some major differences between how the higher ranks have grown between the services. For example, the Navy and Air Force each grew their generals and admirals faster than the Army and Marine Corps combined since the war in Afghanistan began. Freeman says that growth happened at the same time the Navy and Air Force were reducing the rest of their end strength.
Furthermore, the Air Force has a historically low number of planes per general, and the Navy is close to having more admirals than ships for them to command.
One of the tracks of former Defense Secretary Robert Gates' efficiency initiatives was to flatten out the uniform management structure in DOD. The department created a task force led by Cliff Stanley, the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, and Vice Admiral William Gortney, the Director of the Joint Staff. Gates told them to find 50 general and admiral billets they could eliminate. The team came up with 102, plus another 23 that were downgraded to lower rank. Stanley told the committee that their review resulted in what would turn out to be a long-term governance change in the way DOD handles its requirements for generals and admirals. He says the new plan is to keep the congressionally mandated ceilings on the number of officers where they are today. Those 102 general and admiral positions have been taken out administratively. Stanley says that'll give DOD the ability to surge up if it needs to.
This is a significant change to the way we will manage our general and flag officer forces in the future. And we understanding the values of this flexibility rests with an understanding of our previous force management practices. In the past, the department always maintained the number of general and flag officers as close to statutory ceilings as possible. While this provided sufficient numbers of general and flag officers to meet the most pressing or pressing needs, any time a new requirement arose, delays ensued while an offset was identified and then downgraded or eliminated. Now, just as this committee gave flexibility to the joint community through new legislation in 2009, the creation of the joint pool, the Secretary of Defense has directed reductions, which through self-imposed policies will similarly allow the military departments to operate below authorized ceilings and gain that same flexibility.
Stanley says given the compressed schedule, the DOD team did not have the time to examine the roles and missions the military conducts to get a concrete assessment of what the military actually needs in the way of senior officers. A related question came up repeatedly at yesterday's hearing, namely, who decides across the department how many flag officers the department actually needs? This is an exchange between Chairman Jim Webb and Vice Admiral Gortney, the Director of the Joint Staff.
Where is it decided that each of these services has the justification or the requirement for the flags that we see here? Where is it decided that the Air Force, to 332,000 people, should have 151 brigadier generals? Navy, with 328, should have 129. And the Army, with 569,000 people, should have 144. Where is it decided?
Fair question, sir. I'm not exactly sure where the decision. We have the statutes that we live on. that we live by. The services have a mandated statutory limits. We have a joint pool, and we manage them within those numbers.
So you get overall statutory authority from the Congress?
I believe so. I believe that is the answer.
And then, I mean, who has decided? How do you compare a Brigadier General, one service to another? Who does that?
Fair question, sir.
That's why we have this hearing.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, Senator Lindsey Graham, the ranking member on the committee, says it might be time to reconstitute DOD's task force and direct them to look at the roles and responsibilities the services perform. He also wants a closer examination of DOD's senior executives. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.